Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Rick Wright.
I am on this Blog Talk Radio show called With All Dude Respect. That's right, With All Dude Respect. It is afternoon here on the East Coast, wherever you're listening in the world. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. I'd like to bring in my co-host from the West Coast. That would be my brother from another mother, Jimmy Ellis. Jimmy, how are you?
Doing pretty great today. Pretty great. How's your world?
My world is good, man. I'm just, the show's a little somber tone to it. Because dealing with the stuff at Sandy that we did here and on the East Coast, I can't even imagine what those folks down there are going through. We got it. Like, we got beat, but man, you know, those towns just filled up like bathtubs and just the people that are displaced and the death and shit that's going to come out afterwards, you know, just illness and stuff. It's an interesting topic, but I'm glad we're going to cover it. I actually have some good – I want to talk about, too, like, you know, if you have any I want to donate, but I want to do it responsibly.
Right.
And, you know, we can have that discussion, too. So that's what's up. But, the weather's – it's almost like a little fall day here on the East Coast. It's like low 70s, very brisk, very sunny. And we're probably just going to get the dregs of what's left of Harvey tomorrow.
What did you get from them? From Harvey? What did you get on the East Coast? Yeah.
We didn't get anything yet. We tomorrow, the rest of whatever is left of the storm is all broken up. It's going to come by. It's going to come over us tomorrow. It's going to be, drizzly, rainy, cool. And then probably be out of here by Sunday. Hopefully Sunday morning, because I got got some family stuff to do Sunday afternoon. My pop's birthday today. So, yeah.
I was curious about Sandy. You mentioned Hurricane Sandy. That was 2 years ago? When was that, and what was the results in your area? And I know that your division did a lot of work on restoring homes and things like that.
Yeah, we, I'm trying to think when that was. Sitting in my garage, it's funny. Look at my generator when I got it, 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And, there's men, there's one man in particular, Humongous, that really, he took it upon himself to just put men together, organize groups, and just go in there every weekend whenever they had free time and support the people and, gut places. And they were in, there was some nasty situations they were in, you just when you go down to these places, you're filling up everything. You're filling up the sewer lines, you're filling up the water lines, you're filling up houses, there's this stuff everywhere. They were in it and they did their best and they did it for a while. I volunteered a couple of weekends down in Manasquan, which is just east of where I live. Not just east, it's probably about 50 minutes. And I couldn't believe, because we did houses that were literally right on the ocean. Couldn't believe how a storm like that can just move the amount of sand that it did inside a house. Like the garage would be 4 feet of sand. The main street where you walk down, where there's asphalt, there's dunes. It's like literally Mother Nature just took the sand and just moved it back, 30, 50 feet. And just really, again, filled up all these houses. And once you get a flood like that, man, things just get nasty, mold and, that you don't do pressure treated, wood inside homes. So, it messes up stuff and warps shit and things aren't flush or plumb anymore. So, that's what we dealt with. And, we did what we could, and the one thing was, is then afterwards, it went down to the political stuff and the funding and who's going to get money and who's not. And you know what, man? I didn't hear any like really you know, people who had insurance, they got insurance. You know, people who were, I guess, that were displaced, you know, there was, you know, these camps set up, you know, they eventually found places. But it seemed like the amount of money and the fundraising, everything that went into, like, where the area was, you know, you don't hear anybody saying, hey, you know what, man, I got a check for, like, you know, for $50,000 and I was able to rebuild my life. You know, it was nothing like that. You know, I don't know where that money went. Like, it's just bizarre. Like, so, you know, bring it to switching gears, and we can probably cover this first, is I'm gun shy on who to give my money to. You know, I want to support, I want to give, but I don't want to just give to something. I want to be able to get to somebody who's on, who's you know, someone who's in need, and it'll help them. And it's funny because right before the show started, I got an email from one of my men. I put out to my team. I said, does anybody, you know, have a good, worthy cause that I know my money's going to hit the ground? And the Rotary Club, the local Rotary Club in my area, they actually are doing a fundraiser. And what they're going to do is they're going to distribute anything and everything they get to the – they've already raised they only raised $1,000 so far. I don't know when they started it. But any money that goes to them is going to go down to the other Rotary Clubs in Corpus Christi in and around the devastated area. What they're going to do is they're going to go to, like, Target and Walmart and these big box stores, and they're going to get gift cards, and they're going to give them to the people that were displaced and their house is ruined and their stuff, everything is gone. Like, they're going to actually give them, you know, and no, I like, too, is it's not giving them cash, not handing them a check for $50,000. It's giving them something that they can go and buy things with. So I think I love that. Like, you know, that's what they should do. Like, all this stuff that's going to go down there, because there's going to be a lot of things that are, you know, a lot of hopefully fundraisers. You know, I'm waiting for the, you know, usually these bands step up and they'll do a benefit concert. I haven't heard shit from that. But you know, but that, I think that's a great way to do it. And, of course, hopefully if they have insurance, and then there's FEMA, if there's, you know, catastrophic loss and they just have no money. But also, too, they're saying now that Harvey is the second most expensive storm. It's probably going to be eclipse number one. Do you know what the first one is?
The one in New Orleans?
Yes, Katrina. So Katrina was – there was 141 billion dollars spent in Katrina. So, again, you know, and then – I look at that whole situation. They rebuilt pretty much where they were, which is in a bathtub. So none of that money went to, like, raise the ground. You know, it probably went to, you know, shore up the levees and different things like that. But, you know, if another really big storm comes in, they might have the same thing again. You know, so it's, you know, I just wish these, you know, it's my hope that funds go in the right place and we learned our lessons and, you know, that people will get support and, you know, families will get their homes back or get a home. So, well, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, we're just sitting here in the baking sun. Southern California, San Diego, it's like, you know, we're hitting the hundreds right now and it's just hot. That's all we know. I mean, I wish we had just a little bit of rain. I mean, just give us some. It's like the extreme, you know? Houston is like all rain. What was it? Crazy amounts of, like, inches and inches of rain, you know? And then it's a disaster area. Oh, but don't worry. They got three more days of rain. It's like, holy shit. And here in San Diego, we got nothing. I think we had some sprinkling for literally about 90 seconds one day. Me and Jennifer are like, wow, did you see that downpour? It's like 90 seconds, literally. So we don't feel nothing, and we would, you know, really like some, you know, rain, unbelievably. But I know what you mean about where the money goes, because, yeah, you want to know that it goes direct. Here's the money. Here's $5. Here's $10. Here's $100. Can it do? What can it do? But anytime you have a middleman, that's when things can get crazy. I'm just looking at this post, and I don't know how accurate it is, you know, because it's Facebook and it's, you know, somebody typed it up. I don't know how accurate it is. But, you know, it's like, think before you donate. And it mentions the American Red Cross, you know, the salary for the CEO is $651,000. plus expenses. You know, March of Dimes, only a dime for every dollar given to the needy. You know, Goodwill, nothing. Goodwill is all for profit. Nothing goes to help anyone. But then it mentions things like the Salvation Army. Salvation Army, 95% of donated dollars go to your cause. So, I mean, and the American Legion. So there are some that are good, but you got to do your homework before you give, you know, unless you're going down there yourself like you were with a shovel. So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, so just, you know, interesting stuff with that. And, you know, my heart goes out to the folks down there. And, you know, I just, it's just, for this, it seems like I've never in my lifetime seen a hurricane, or, you know, it was a hurricane, it was, you know, it was category 3 or 4, whenever it hit, bounce back off the coast and then hit again, then bounce back off the coast and go back in again. It's like, it's ridiculous. They're saying it's a 1,000-year storm. So it's my hope I never see another storm, you know, or we never see another storm like this again. But just truly
what
amazing.
What does that mean?
Every time.
A thousand-year storm? Yeah, what does that mean?
That means that again, I haven't done research on it, but from what I understand, you know, they classify them from the insurance world, you know, 100-year storm and 1,000-year storm. So, like, you know, if you're in a certain spot, like, you know, it's, you're in this zone, right? And it could be a 100-year zone, which, you know, could be some flooding. But a 1,000-year storm is like literally a storm that would happen every, you know, every 1,000 years. It's like, it's not a normal occurrence. So that's what they're saying this was. And again, don't quote me on it. I heard it somewhere in the news.
Right.
But, you know, listen, but if you're dropping, I don't know what the actual totals were, but 50, 60 inches of rain on over just multiple days, you know, shit's going to get, you know, screwed up. And it's just not a good situation. And even if you take the hurricane out of it, even if it rains like that for 3 days without a hurricane, you probably have the same situation. If you notice, they didn't talk about wind damage or structural damage. It's all water. And, you know, it's just, water is just terrible. You know, even when we have these tsunamis, man, it just, you just see the devastation about just a wall of water, what that does.
It's so far beyond my frame of reference of my experience in life that it doesn't even register on my radar as far as reality. It's like a movie. It's like, oh, I'm just watching a movie, you know, and those people are okay because it's just a movie. No, it's not. No. These people are wading through their house or their business, you know. I mean, it's, hey, do you know anybody in Houston area?
I don't know anybody. Yeah, no, I don't know anybody down in that area. So I don't have family or any, you know, men, you know, friends, business acquaintances, nobody. So, you know, I'm disconnected as far as that goes, but, you know, I'm really connected with, you know, Facebook. They're showing a lot of stuff. And then, you know, I'll throw on the news just to see, you know, how things are going. But then I get sort of, you know, the news puts their little spin on it too. It gets a little political. It's just like, it's just so crazy. It's just like people's homes are getting destroyed and people are dying, and, you know, and just like, just come together, shut up, and just everybody do their best to make everybody who's affected with this just, you know, to feel better and get on with, you know, figure out how to pick up the pieces and move on with their life.
I think it's interesting. I was just taking notes before the call about our topic, which to me, it does touch on Harvey, the Hurricane Harvey, but also on the bigger picture of how men respond to crisis. And, you know, nothing about women, because guess what? You and I aren't women, so we're not going to talk about how women think. So we'll talk about men, right? And what you just said encapsulates, for me, the way men are, who they really are in times of crisis. You're like, let's shut up. What do we need to do? Let's go do it. You know, it's like totally warrior action mode. And for me, when you say shut up, that means, you know, get out of the emotional mayhem, you know, get out of problem mode and get into action. I mean,
yes.
I thought you encapsulated that really well. I mean, do you see that, like, in your division, whenever there's a crisis, men just spur into action?
You know what? Yeah, for the most part, I'll say yes. You know, men, like for Sandy, you know, men sprung into action when, you know, when there's a man who's on the balls of his ass, you know, men rally around them. You know, I recently supported a man in my division who, you know, was having some financial issues. So, you know, I supported him. And then, again, not just handing the man money and saying, see ya. A group of men got together and had a meeting and sort of like this financial intervention and, you know, put him on the hot seat and said, listen, you know, we want you to get your shit together. So, you know, what's your plan? If you don't have one, there was a financial guy there, a guy on my team, financial whiz. He's like, I'm going to put the plan together for you. You're going to follow it. You're going to make a commitment to follow this thing because you're just not going to live like this anymore. And the guy's like, and the man's like, yeah, okay, you know what? He surrendered. He's, I'll do it. So, you know, that's an example on a small level. But, yeah, you know, it's cool what we do because we have the ability to, you know, to mobilize quickly, you know. It's literally an email and or a phone call or a text chain and, like, boom, men are in action. And
yeah,
it's great. You know, we had some men who are big time, like, vegan animal rights people, and there was something went on upstate with one of these shelters and they needed manpower. And one weekend, a shit ton of men went up there and took care of whatever had to be taken care of with their own time, with their own equipment, and just went up there and handled it.
Yeah.
So, long and short of it, I guess, was yes, we do. What about you men on the West Coast?
I think I may be biased, but I do see that a lot of times it does sometimes take a emergency or a crisis to really see the mobilization and the action because it gives it purpose or it's like, oh. And sometimes I'm a little disheartened at the non-action when it's just something simple. Like, I'll give you two examples. One is, I have a documentary coming out. Oh, my gosh, and we're having a premiere. And they're all like, oh, okay, yeah. I mean, it's kind of cool. Yeah, good for you, yeah. It'd mean a lot if you were there at the premiere of the documentary. Oh, really? Oh, it's on it. What day is it? I mean, it's just not the energy or the support that I look for in just basic celebration of a life and something that's going on that's important for me. And, you know, in my bachelor party, you know, it's kind of not well attended. It's like, shit. However, when I first joined the division, I was about a year and a half into it in San Diego, and I was on a point program, you know, where we lead the new men that are just joining the division. I was a point man. I kept getting this text in the middle of, I mean, it was in the morning. It was like 7 a.m. I'm out there, you know, leading these men, and I'm getting these texts back in the day when you used to get those not on your phone, but on like a beeper. We used to have beepers back then. Anyway, it was 911. It's like, emergency, please call back. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So the third time I got, you know, a page, they called it, I call in and say, oh, yeah, Jim, your house is gone. It's all gone. Between the time I left my house, like 6 a.m, to the time I'm getting these texts or, you know, pages, a fire had taken my house out. Unbelievable. So I drive home from this point program meeting, and my heart's pounding. I have adrenaline. I'm going, oh, my God, what am I going to see when I turn the corner of my street? You know, what am I not going to see?
Yeah.
And yeah, I turned the corner. There's one fire engine outside, and that my room and that house, my room's gone because that's where the fire started. And the house was pretty much, you know, smoke damaged and just ruined. And the response, and I always say this, the response of the men's division was so intense and so immense, including some family of women members, that I actually had more clothes at the end of the day than when I started the day. It was by the end of the day, that day, I had more clothes because of this, like you said, an email goes out, the word gets out, and men spur into action. We got to help them. So I see when there is an emergency and things like that, then there's a lot of action and purpose. Like, but I don't think men understand the value they have and the purpose they can have by showing up just for the small things, not the fires and the hurricanes, but when someone says, you know what, it'd be great to see you at my play. So.
So that's a great point, because, you know, even like, you know, I know a man who on my team who's starting like a coaching business, right? And there's ways to do it. You know, he took this, you know, high-end course, and they tell you, they give it to you. Like, listen, this is foolproof, just do it. And he created a page, and he, you know, caused a little buzz. But it's so funny, like how, like as a man, like every time I saw something, I liked it. Like every time you pretty much post something or your wife posts something, I like it. You know,
yeah.
I'm like, you know, I look at it, I'm like, ah, oh, you know, but I'm supporting it. Like, just imagine
right.
if, like, you know, the 800 men that are in our organization right now, that every time they saw someone post something, they liked it or shared it. Like, that would be like, you know, that'd be instant like success. People are like, ooh, what the hell is this? Like, it would be a buzz. It'd be like, holy shit, you know. It's like, but you know, I get it. They don't. You know, like I went live, like I did that video on With All Due Respect. One man on my team shared it because I put it out as a commitment on my team that I wanted to, you know, that I'm really not, you know, I'm not a video guy, but I want to do it and test it out. And he shared it,
right.
and liked it.
Yep.
And, you know, but no one else did, you know, and, you know, but I didn't ask him either. You know, I could have probably shot a text out to my team, but, you know, then my story is that men are, you know, men are in it, you know, they're in the trenches, they're working, they're taking care of their kids, their family, you know, screen, their health, whatever. Why am I bothering, you know, sharing my, you know, 10-second video of the water conversation, water meaning, with all due respect.
Right.
But yeah, man. So Noah, I just want to ask you too, did you go live on the, the page? How did you do it?
Okay, yeah. So for our audience, we have our With All Dude Respect page on Facebook. And I'm an administrator. You must be an administrator, right?
Yeah. I'm an administrator.
Yeah. So what happened was Rick and I, you know, you and I, Rick, we talked about, hey, let's start doing video because that's the latest, greatest thing. And so Rick did a video on your phone. We're not going to say if he held it portrait or landscape. Who cares about that topic? You know, that doesn't mean anything to us. It's supposed to be a filmmaker. But anyway, yeah, so you did yours, which is cool. You know, like 10 seconds of, hey, da-da-da-da. And then what I want to do is respond to it, but you can't respond inside of a comment and do your own, like, you can't film. I don't think you could film a video. I tried to do that. I couldn't do it, like respond to it. So I said, well, let me just do a Facebook Live inside of that page with all due respect.
Yeah.
So I went to the page, and at the very top, you can write a post, you can add a photo or video. The next option that I have, I think you have it too, is live video. If you click live video, then if you have a microphone and you have a camera in your computer, or maybe on your phone, it says, okay, ready to go? And it counts you down. 3, 2, 1, you record it. And so that's what I did. And so we'll find other ways of incorporating video. Maybe someday we'll do this live, you know, this show. There must be a way.
I'm playing with it now. I'm actually live right now.
Posted a video. There you are. You just did it. It just says Rick Wright posted
the
video.
Yeah, here I am, man. I'm posting. Well, it's sort of like it's there, but it's like not moving. I'm just shooting outside of my house. I'm trying to spin it so you can see me, but for some reason it won't spin.
The live video will begin in a moment.
Oh.
Did you click live? Did you click it like yes, go, move?
Yeah, it says live in the top left corner, but it's just a frozen picture, I guess the first image it took of my garage. Let me know when it goes live. Maybe it'll unlock and I can do some cool shit.
You know it doesn't make sense. Look at this phrase. The live video will begin in a moment. That doesn't make sense. It's either live or it's in later. I don't know. So I guess it's waiting for
either.
You to do something. But yeah, that was fun.
I don't know.
I mean, someday, who knows? We'll be I mean, you've seen these other video shows, or these other interview shows, you know, they've got split screen and, you know, I mean, our audience is just, I know they're just demanding, you know, they're banging on our doors for more, so we gotta keep growing for sure.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. I hit the button. I hit the live button.
There you go. Hit it.
Am
I can see you.
I did it. It keeps
3, 2, 1.
No, it goes. It'll hit. I want to go live, but I don't know. It's not working. I hit the button up on the left side. Screw it.
Isn't the bottom right? I'm gonna say.
It says
live
video. I'm trying to hit finish. It says live video must be 4 seconds long. I don't know why. Let me go then. Hook me up. Hang on.
Go.
A picture. I'm trying. Damn it. Go.
The show would go down in history as, oh my God, this is the first show they ever tried to do this.
Yeah.
This is so cool.
It's not letting me do anything. Now I'm locked. Now I can't even get back out.
Now they've locked you out of with Facebook.
No, it says live video must be 4 seconds long. So I don't know why it keeps doing that, but let's see if I hold the finish button down there. It's like old school trying to figure shit out. This is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna close the app. Easy way to get rid of shit. Just close the app.
It looks good though. It says the live video will begin in a moment.
Yep. Your viewers are waiting for you to come back, it says. It won't even let me hang up. It just sent me notification. Your viewers are waiting for you. Thank you, Facebook.
should say your viewer is waiting for you. They know exactly how many people are watching. Me. The live video will begin in a moment. That's what it says. We'll take a picture of that. We'll post it all over the world. That'll create some suspense.
Well, now it's saying the live video begin in a moment. So here I am. Come on, Jimmy. Yeah, you're on there. I see you on there. Can you see anything?
Oh, you can see me watching?
Yeah, I can see. I got one viewer, Jim Ellis. Hit your like button.
I did.
Let me see if it pops up. Oh, no, I didn't get the floaty thing coming across my screen. Oh, there it is. I just took a screenshot of it and shut my phone off.
Oh my God.
Anyway,
well,
all right.
Yeah, these are the sounds. This is the sounds of people trying to figure out Facebook Live. We'll always have this captured and archived. And we're running out of time.
Yep.
So any crises that you've gotten support on from the men? Not helping out on anybody.
Yeah, no, not a crisis, but I at one point in my backyard, I had a really big project where I went out and I hired a bulldozer and I wanted to really level out some parts of my backyard, and a bunch of men came over and helped me out. So it was pretty cool. You know, I had probably 20 men here. Now, of course, I made sure that, you know, you want to talk to you want to get a bunch of men over, tell them there's going to be a 6-foot sub there, snacks, and all the beer they can drink.
And a stripper. A stripper is important, too.
Yeah, you know what? I probably would have had 30 men if I had a stripper here, but I got 20 with just food and booze. And it was great. So literally, and this is the one thing that's really fascinating with what we do. The amount of shit that we got done in one day with 20 men and a bulldozer was ridiculous. Like, it would have took like a paid crew of, you know, of 10 men a week to do what we did, you know, working literally 40 hours. We got it done. Like, the guys, there was 4 or 5 chainsaws. I had a chainsaw. We were cutting down trees. We had a big bonfire. We put some stuff up at the front of the the yard. Guys are pulling branches and stuff out. We cleared literally and it was all overgrown with trees and everything. So phenomenal when you get a team of men that work together and are really selfless and things happen. So It's really cool. I'm complete on that. It's, of course, 429.
Yeah. So we'll complete. We'll close on that. You know, just I do like the image of, you know, real man, a true man that does step up when he knows that what he can do will help another. You know, it kind of gives them purpose. I want men to recognize that they have a bigger purpose just showing up at times that aren't in crisis. But for now, let's celebrate the men that do show up because they can and because they want to. It's what they're built to do. So, yeah. Right on, man. Join us again, ladies and gentlemen, with all due respect, every Friday, 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, Ricky. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Jimmy. Have a great weekend also. Great show. Thank you, brother.
All right. Talk to you. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.